Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to wait upon you and to know that your strength flows into us and your empowerment from on high is there for us as we put our trust and our faith and our confidence in you. Lord, come live in us. Fill our whole being so that we can soar with you on eagle's wings. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather ourselves around your word today. And we pray, Lord, that as we open our hearts and open our minds, that your Holy Spirit would just move into us and teach us the things that we need to know to be able to live in these days. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who walks among us now, touching each one of our lives, personally encouraging us to know that you have called us out to be your dearly loved children, your forever family. And so, Lord, in these moments now, we just pray that you would just move among us with power, as only you can. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for all your good blessings, the blessings of your kingdom that you are pouring out to us right now, right here. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, as we continue our study of the book of Acts, this series that we're calling New Beginnings, I was thinking this week, for those of you who have Facebook on your computers, you may have seen a number of posts that have the caption, "Wait for it." Have any of you ever seen those posts on Facebook, you know, those ones that are there, that, you know, it's usually a video in which someone has been recorded doing something normal, something of an everyday kind of nature, and it's an activity or something, and then as they get to the end of what they're doing, something startling, something unexpected or unusual happens. You ever seen those ones? They have that little caption that says, "Wait for it." And the people are completely caught off guard, and their reaction is often humorous to watch, or in some of them, there's a lesson for us to be learned from what we've seen. But in all of these, we're encouraged to wait for it. Wait for it. You know, 26 years ago, I had a series of wait for it experiences. At 6 o'clock in the morning on January the 6th, 1994, seems like a long time ago now, but January 6th, 1994, I was praying beside my grandmother's bedside, my Nana. She was in hospital. She lay dying from a massive stroke she had had in the early morning hours. I was praying. And then I had an unmistakable leading from the Lord, urging me to get up from my place at her hospital bed and to go to the seminary that morning. Now, I was taking a week-long course at that time. It was just the first week in January. And, you know, as I was standing or sitting beside my grandmother's bed, I just had this leading, and I said to my mom and dad, I told them, "Look, you know, the Lord's telling me to go to school today, but I really don't want to get up and go from here because Nana's just so close to death. But I have, they're just, this sense just won't go away, so they said, go, go. And so I did. I went to school that morning, and I talked with my professor, and I explained to him what had happened, and he encouraged me to just be open to whatever was going to happen that day and just wait for it. Well, so I did. In chapel that morning, as we were singing the opening hymn, remember, this was in the first week of January, and actually it was January the 6th, and for any of you who follow the liturgical calendar, that was the day of Epiphany, the day that the Magi followed the star, that celebrates the Magi following the star, and we were singing, of all song hymns, We Three Kings of Orientar. And as we were singing, suddenly I had my wait for it moment. As we were just starting into the verse, you know, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty, bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. All of a sudden, everything around me just kind of went hazy, and it was like it was surreal. And all of a sudden, at the front of the room was this light that started to rise up above everybody else that was in the room. And I was just sitting there, and I felt really heavy, so I had to sit down, and I sat down, and as I did, everything just was just so fixed on that star that was rising. And then I heard the voice. From that, in that vision. I now know it was a vision, but I felt the heat, I felt the warmth, and I heard the voice say to me, in the throes of death, new life comes. And just then, the singing stopped, and the light faded away. I looked around and everyone else, and I wondered, did they see what I just saw? Did they see that? Did they hear that? Did they experience it? And then I realized, no, they didn't. It was just me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was up all night. I must have been something I ate or didn't eat, or just that I'm overtired or whatever. But in that moment, I didn't have any concept of what this really I had seen or experienced. Then later in the morning, just before noon, I got a phone call from my older brother. And he was letting me know that Nana had passed away. And he was asking me if I would preach at the funeral. Yeah. I guess that's, when you have a pastor in the family, that's something that happens a lot. It did for me. But later that morning, I didn't really know what to say at that point, so I told him I'd let him know later in the afternoon. And at lunchtime again, I found my professor and I told him, listen, this is what's just happened. And I sought his counsel, and he suggested that in the afternoon, in our guided prayer time, that I take everything to the Lord and just wait on the Lord for some clear direction as to what to do and to gain some peace. You know, in effect, what he was saying to me was, wait for it. Wait for it. So I did. And during that afternoon, the hour and a half guided prayer time, I laid it all out before the Lord and then waited, listening. In the quietness and in the stillness that afternoon, I heard the voice of the Spirit say to me, okay, Ken, you are to officiate at Nana's funeral. You are to speak the message, but you are not to go and try to find a message using the homiletical method that you've been taught so rigorously at seminary and Bible college. You are to wait for the message that I speak into you. And I thought, oh, great. Oh, great. Because at that point in my ministry, it took me about 10, 15, about 20 hours a week to kind of put a message together. You know, just all that study and everything else. So once again, I was to wait for it, to wait for the message that God would give me. So I did. That was a Wednesday afternoon. I waited all Wednesday night. Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening. Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday evening. The funeral was on Saturday in the early afternoon. So I was at this time, I was starting to kind of go, okay, Lord, you told me to wait, but what's going to happen? I got to have something. And so after dinner on Friday evening, I went into a time of prayer. And I just sat in before the Lord and just said, Lord, I'm listening. And then wham! For the next hour and a half, I couldn't stop writing. I wrote out that message that the Lord gave me right then. And the next day when I delivered the message at the funeral, there was such a powerful impact on all of my family members that it was just incredible. Afterwards, my uncle, who is not very spiritual, not overtly anyway, and I don't think he's ever made a profession of faith in Christ. He sought me out afterwards and he said to me, Ken, your message today hit me like a howitzer. And I hope everybody else in the family was listening too. It was something that was really needed for us to hear today. You know, I share these wait for it moments with you to emphasize how the Spirit of God can suddenly show up and surprise us, bringing us to a whole new level of empowerment in our ministry. You know, that day, the Spirit gave me a life vision, a new empowerment in my preaching that's lasted for my lifetime right now, even today. But, you know, it took me 3 years. I don't know if I was just slow or what, but 3 years to fully understand what had happened to me on that one day. Because as a Baptist pastor, I didn't have a theological framework at that point to recognize that this was what Jesus' disciples had experienced as the baptism of the Holy Spirit being clothed with power from on high. I realized that 3 years later when I took some courses on the book of Acts and Luke, the charismatic theology that is there. But, you know, this is why Jesus had told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for what the Father had promised to give them. You know, in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus specifically told his disciples, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That was his promise to them. You know, I share my wait for it stories and reflect on what Jesus instructed his disciples to do. And as I do, in many ways, I can relate to the experiences of the prophet Habakkuk, where he said, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me, and I will answer. And the Lord answered me. He said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. And if it seems slow, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Those words just echo in my mind, into my heart. Wait for it. For it will surely come. It will not delay. Wait for it. Wait for it. You know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, Jesus has promised to empower all who repent and who are baptized in Jesus' name, those who were near, those who were far away. He says, to those the Lord has called out. Where did we hear that? Last week, I think. His called out ones, right? To all those who are his called out ones, he's promised to empower us with his Holy Spirit. Now, this is his promise. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus has promised that we will experience a power upgrade that will enable us to function at a whole new level of effectiveness in our life and witness for Jesus. And all we have to do is, what? Wait for it. Wait for it. Yeah, I love the interaction. Last week just really told me that you guys really like to interact. So I'll encourage you, okay? I'm not going to discourage you. I'll encourage you. Wait for it. So what are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? What am I waiting for? Now, it's important for us to understand what we're waiting for when we talk about waiting for this empowerment from on high, from the Holy Spirit. Recently in my reading, I came across a few nuggets of gold from Andrew Murray, who's written a book entitled Waiting on God. Listen to what he has to say about waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, the Spirit is the real living presence and power of the Father working in us. And therefore, it is just he who knows the Spirit is in them, who waits on the Father for the full revelation and experience of what the Spirit's indwelling is, for his increase and abounding more and more. Did you catch it? What Andrew Murray is saying here is brilliant. He says, some people have asked me the question, as pastor, don't we receive the Holy Spirit when we're saved? And if we do so, then why do we need to wait on God to receive more of the Spirit, to be baptized in the Spirit that we already have received? Why do we have to do that? I mean, is there something like a second dose of the Holy Spirit, or are we missing something? Well, that's a valid question, and some of you might have that question. What's this whole thing about being baptized in the Spirit? Well, Murray has an answer to that question as well, and he says this: much more. So the Holy Spirit. He is God, present and working in us. The true position in which we can count upon that working with an unceasing power is as we, praising for what we have, still unceasingly waiting for the Father's promise to be still more mightily filled. So in other words, what he's saying is this. He says, this waiting on the promise from the Father is not just a one-off thing. Filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-off thing. We don't just get it at our salvation. We do. We get the Spirit, but then the Spirit of God is poured into us more and more and more as we wait upon God for his infilling of the Spirit. You got it? Shake your head. I can't, the thing about masks is I can't see your faces. And it's so important that we get this, because the Holy Spirit, as we understand in Luke chapter 24, verses 45, John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus when he breathed on his disciples, they received the Holy Spirit. They did. They received the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, in the next breath, told them to wait for the gift of being clothed with power from on high. So they waited, and then what happened? They received that empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Now, from my studies in Luke and Acts, it appears that there's a difference between receiving the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and being full of the Spirit. Do a study on that, okay? We're not going to go there today. But just do a study on that. See, receive the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and full of the Spirit. All are present in Luke and Acts. You know, as Murray points out, we become more and more aware of the working of the Spirit of God in our lives. As we become more aware of that, we become more and more open to taking up the posture of waiting on the Father for the full revelation and experience of what the Spirit's indwelling brings to us. You know, the more we wait on God in anticipation of what His Spirit will do in our life, the more He's willing to pour it out to us. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? As we unceasingly wait for the Father's promise to be still more mightily filled, the Father fills us with more and more of His Spirit and provides us with the power to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's the truth. That's what's being spoken of here. In Lamentations 3:25, we read, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." So now that we know what we're waiting for, the question is, how are we to wait? How are we to wait? Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6 says this, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning." In Psalm 27, 13 and 14, we are encouraged to take up the posture of waiting on the Lord. He says, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. Now, these two psalms indicate that there is a posture for us to take up in our waiting on God. And this brings us to Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, which is our scripture focus today from the book of Acts. In this short section we're looking at today, there's a lesson for us to learn about waiting on God together in prayer. Waiting on God together in prayer. Listen to what Luke records in Acts 1, 12, and 14. He says, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they met upstairs. They went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They were all together consistently in prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." You know, whether they understood what Jesus had commanded them to do or not, they were obedient, and they returned to Jerusalem and continued meeting in the upper room where they were staying, waiting together for Jesus' promise to be fulfilled. Those who gathered there were the 11, the apostles. The woman among them was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers, who were James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. All these people were, the disciples, the core group of disciples, were waiting together. And from the verbs that Luke uses here in Luke 24, 52 to 53, and Acts 1, 12 to 14, it's evident that their waiting was active and not passive. It was active. Look at all these different, listen to all these different verbs. They returned to Jerusalem. They arrived. They went upstairs. They joined together. They worshiped. They praised God. They praised God continually. All of these are actions, active engagement in their waiting. Their actions were purposeful, deliberate, and focused, intentionally consistent. In their waiting, they took up a posture of joyful worship, praise, and concerted prayer. Some very important elements of waiting. In Acts chapter 1:14, Luke tells us that this group of Christ followers took up the posture of prayer as they waited for Jesus' promise to be fulfilled. And they were unified in their dedication to waiting on God in prayer. For 10 days between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon them with power, they were together seeking God in prayer, concerted prayer, prayers seeking guidance and wisdom, prayers for healing and wholeness, prayers for strength and boldness, prayers for assurance and confidence. You name it, they prayed for it. It was their lifeline to God. And what's interesting to note is that once the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, they didn't change their posture. They did not change their posture in prayer. They continued to wait on God in prayer for their ongoing empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Nothing changed. Actually, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it indicates that prayer was one of the four priorities of the newly established church. This is what Luke says. They said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer. They devoted themselves to these things. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Waiting on God in prayer was a foundational element in the life of the church. As the good news about Jesus began to spread everywhere, and they began to run into passive and active resistance to the gospel that they were proclaiming about Christ. They needed to depend on this time of prayer. The early church was a praying church, actively coming together to consistently wait on God for direction, empowerment, and empowerment in their ministry and witness. So listen to the way that Luke describes one of the church's early prayer meetings. Just after Peter and John had been released from the temple authorities, and after they had healed a lame man, just listen to how this prayer meeting is described in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported that the chief priests and the elders had said to them, what the chief priests and elders had said to them, and when they had heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, this is their prayer, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the anointed, his anointed. For sure, truly, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What an empowered prayer. What an incredibly wise prayer. You know, recognizing God's sovereignty, recognizing God's hand at work in everything that was going on, and then praying for God's spirit to embolden them. And then you know what happened? Luke records it. It's amazing. He said, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Talk about an empowered church. When they got together, waited on God in prayer, things began to happen. The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Well, you know what that tells me is this. Who wouldn't want to be part of a church like that? Who wouldn't want to be a church that's just shaken, moving and a shaken? A church where there's a whole lot of shaking going on, as the song sings. And it's all because the Spirit of God is in the house. The Spirit of God is in this house. The Spirit of God is in that house out there. All of you. In the house that we are being built together to become, the house of living stones that I talked about last week, where the Spirit of God dwells by His Spirit. When that happens, when we come together, this is what happens when we come together in prayer. A whole lot of shaking goes on because the Spirit of God is on the move. So what does this part of Luke's story teach us about waiting on God the Father for the fulfillment of His promises? Well, it teaches us to be like the disciples who actively, consistently, and passionately took up the posture of waiting together in prayer. It reminds us that like the disciples, as weak and helpless as they were initially as they were waiting, and some of them were fearful, as much as they were that way before, they were empowered by the Spirit. We too can find our strength in the life of faith as we too wait upon God, seeking His empowering presence to maintain the life of the Spirit within us personally and corporately. Now, this is an example to us of, you know, when we wait upon God together in prayer, God will move into us and begin to move out through us. And finally, it assures us that our all-powerful, omnipotent God will, through the glorified Christ, work in us a power that can bring to pass things unexpected, things seemingly impossible. Amen? Amen. So I close today with one last word from Andrew Murray, who says, "Oh, what will not the church be able to do when her individual members learn to live their lives waiting on God, and when together with all of self and the world sacrificed in the fire of love, they unite in waiting with one accord for the promise of the Father, once so gloriously fulfilled long time ago, but still unexhausted today." Amen. So as God's people, in this time of new beginning, let us not give up waiting together in prayer for the promised gift of God's empowering presence, his Spirit. Let us take to heart the words that of the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, where he says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So this morning, as we complete our time of study in God's Word today, let's take a few moments now to apply what we've discovered today. And how do we do that? How do we do that? By waiting together in a time of prayer. And so this morning, I'm going to ask Jaden actually here to play a video. We are going to do the video. We're going to do it right now. And this video is going to be our introduction, our prompt into a time of prayer together, waiting on God today. And so as the video is complete, I'd like you to take up a posture that's comfortable for you in prayer. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. But after the video is done, then we'll have a time where you can just pour out to the God, lift up to the Lord together in prayer. What's on our hearts today? As we wait with confident expectation for the Spirit of God to fill us with wisdom, strength, healing, wholeness, and power from on high.